Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two old guys, and even though it's been a year, still one rather young lady, talk about old or interesting or new games because other shit Monday. So today, we're going to be talking about the Stanley Parable, and we have a special guest host.
Still rather young lady.
Nicole Nance of, what do you think is your most prolific episode? What would you like to be Nicole Nance of blank fame?
Can't you just say Kirby?
Kirby, okay.
Several. Kirby fame.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you just want us to call you Kirby?
Yeah. It'd be my pseudonym.
Kirby Nance?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. It's a good, like, 1940s detective. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I was thinking, we talked about those shame flashbacks. And
what?
Where you remember something embarrassing, out of blue. And I had one a few days ago of something I did.
A shame flashback.
A shame flashback.
A flash shame.
Shame back?
Shame back? We gotta work on that. We gotta workshop that. If you have a suggestion, listeners, let us know.
And I remember a friend of mine had just started dating this girl. And the girl came over to my apartment or my house where a bunch of us were. And he introduced us to her. And I had a class with this girl at Murray State. And what it was, I had Civ 102 with her. And we had this old kind of mean professor.
Sid Meier's Civ 102.
And when she was kind of loud and boastful. So whenever she would come in, basically that whole class was just her arguing with the professor. Every other day, they were just getting some big 30-minute argument about something related to history or tangential to history or local events or current events, something.
Whether you need to get a space victory or a military victory.
And the one day she tried to bait him into an argument and he did not take it was whenever she came into class and it was very hot outside, cold inside. So she comes in in a really tight spaghetti string top and enormous nipples. She was clearly freezing cold when she came into the room. It blatantly obvious when she walks in. The professor, looks at her, looks down, doesn't really address her for the rest. He doesn't know how to talk to her.
We never saw that professor again. he just packed his briefcase and walked out the door. And that's the last we saw of Dr. Johnson. Dr. Johnson, the nipple doctor.
the world civilization nipple historian. But, he couldn't look at her without, looking at her chest. Her nipples were hard, the whole, hour and a half class. So, I remember that when I saw her come in.
Oh, I bet you remember that.
I remember that very well. So when she came in, I was like, oh, hey, I know you. The room goes silent. Yeah, I remember that time. Man, you walked into class and your nipples were so hard. Oh, the girl was mortified. Mortified. She turns red. My friend who's dating her, he's just, speechless. Everybody's just looking at me, looking at her, because I'm trying to make a funny joke. I roll a one, completely fails, bring up this embarrassing anecdote, and about 10 minutes later, she just has to get up and leave.
You're just making an objective statement.
Your nipples were hard, man.
They were hard. Yes or no, man?
Although the only thing that makes me not feel as bad is, as last I heard, allegedly,
oh no,
she has moved to the Bahamas and is now a prostitute.
Is the prostitution business booming in the Bahamas?
I don't know. She's on Facebook.
Is that the destination?
I guess. She likes warm weather and loose. I don't know.
If I were going to be a prostitute, I would do it in the Bahamas. I mean,
you would?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Just because the weather's nice?
Yeah. You don't want to like prostitute in Juneau, Alaska.
That'd be awful. Should look into this. We should see where it pays the best, right? And then like weigh the situational environment and all the risk to how much it pays to the weather. That could be a factor too. Oh,
I was told that by Sean Miller of.
A lot of stuff fame. Populous. Let's just go with Populous fame.
He was the one who's like, hey, yeah, you know that girl? She's a hooker in the Bahamas now, allegedly.
Was the friend of yours that she was dating, have they been on the show as a guest host?
No.
Okay.
I have not seen him in, I think our relationship was a little strained after that. He will not, I've added him on Facebook a few times and he will not accept my friend request.
He also lives in the Bahamas and is penniless.
Although I do have his painting. Or his Paducah art on my wall.
He made that?
That I took out of his apartment.
Oh, that he owned it.
Yeah.
I see. So not only did you insult his girlfriend, but you stole his art.
Yep. Well, he left it when he moved out.
Nicole, you froze up. Maybe we should let everybody know that if you hear like this, if you hear a frightened yelp, it's because we're recording in Tadpog Annex 2, where there are a lot of bugs.
Yes.
Tyler's going to kill one right now. It's a big one. Yep, that's the sound of swift death.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nicole, you are scared of bugs.
Yes.
I have to be honest, I'm not really, but I'm scared of what that was. Because that looked like it came from Jurassic Park.
So now that we have, because I had the air conditioner in, and when we play, you know, games over here, they would all come in through the like, air conditioner vents. Now that they're all taped up, we're just killing off the extras that have somehow survived.
It's the Clone Wars, what we're experiencing
so
now.
So since they've survived, they're the extra strong ones.
Yeah, I'm going to move my bag. I saw that thing go towards it.
Have you ever embarrassed any future prostitutes before?
Probably. I mean, we live in Western Kentucky. I feel like there's like a 20% chance anyone you talk to is going to be a future prostitute. Is that right? Or a future drug dealer. Or
drug dealer, probably.
Or a meth manufacturer, distributor. Yeah, not to be really mean to everybody here in Western Kentucky. Clearly, there are wonderful people here, and they are all guest hosts on this show. I am your bespectacled host. I am Dave. And man, there's another one. Look at that thing. He's just looking at you. Is that the same one or is that, did he? Oh man. Ooh. God. You're going to have to sell that couch.
Got him.
Was that the same one?
I think it was.
Man, that was like a rad scorpion.
So this is an interesting episode.
Rocky start to the Stanley Parable. What's up, internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. Tyler may have cut all the bug murder out before this. So there's this long, like, weird gap where it seems like audio's been stitched together. It's because we killed a bug in between Tyler's story and mine. Because
Nicole does have an irrational fear of bugs. Doesn't hurt that there's, you know, are bugs that are legitimately to be feared roaming around in my garage.
There's several. No, man, I don't have any prostitution stories. But what I do have is I watched a lot of movies that I kind of forgot about this weekend. Nicole, you may not even know about these movies because I think they were probably coming out as you were coming out.
I've seen a lot of movies because, fun fact about me, I have rated over 1,000 TV and movies on Netflix.
Damn. So. Did they send you something? Like a,
no, but they should, damn it.
You don't get a fruitcake or something at Christmas?
Most of which he hasn't even seen. He just looks at the picture, the description, and the title.
No, I've seen all the ones I've rated. And I do not rate TV shows unless I've seen every episode.
Damn, that's hardcore.
Yeah.
Well, I watched Wayne's World. Have you seen Wayne's World?
I have.
All right.
Have you ever seen the skit Wayne's World on Saturday Night Live or just the movies?
Just the movies.
I mean, the first movie's better, I think, than the skit was on the show.
Yes.
I think the skits went out over Wayne's World 2. I know that's blasphemy to some people. Like, to some people, Wayne's World 2 is better than Wayne's World 1. I think that's ridiculous.
No, I think Wayne's World 1
I think that's a ridiculous
better claim.
So I watched that. I watched Tommy Boy. Have you seen that one?
I have.
All right. Have you seen Black Sheep?
I have.
I didn't see Black Sheep, but I have seen it before. Which is better, do you think? Tommy Boy or Black Sheep?
A Tommy Boy.
Tyler?
Yeah.
Tommy Boy, clear and away, yeah. right? I mean, clear and away. I watched Coneheads, a classic. There was a theme this weekend. As I did a lot of work this weekend, so I played movies in the background. And I watched something I hadn't watched in a long time, and that is Happy Gilmore, which I wanted to watch for when we played NHL, but I didn't. So finally caught up to that. Tommy Boy is still a very funny movie. I was not disappointed. I thought watching all of these again. I hadn't watched any of these since I was probably 12. Except for Happy Gilmore, because I used to watch that. Nikki had that on VHS when we lived together in Murray. So that was like, if that was in the VCR, I knew we were probably going to have sex. So I've got like a strong emotional attachment to that movie.
I cannot show you the VHS copy. Instant erection.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Pavlovian dog. Tommy Boy though, man, that is a funny movie. Like I still laughed. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. I rated it 5 stars on Netflix. So. you watch anything good, Nicole? Just bugs flying around?
Yeah.
Keeping a wary eye?
I've seen a lot of those. No, I haven't seen anything good recently.
Anything new happening? Any stories you got?
No, I have a shame story.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, shame.
Damn, man. I should have come with a shame story.
Well, I hadn't come up with a story yet, but then since you mentioned that, like, I had never had shame flashbacks before until you mentioned them and told me about them.
It's a thing.
Yeah, and so now that I know it's a thing, it happens. This thing that happened hasn't been that long ago, only a couple of years. But Josh and I went to Disneyland in California, and I'd never been to Disneyland or Disney World before, so I was really excited. And the only like theme parks I'd ever been to in my life are like Six Flags and stuff. And on those rides, they jam people in. Like as much if there's six people in a row, they fit six people in a row.
Uh-huh.
Well, at Disneyland, they don't do that.
What do they do? I haven't been to Disneyland ever.
They're responsible with their safety at Disney World.
Well, no, it's like they have the little cars and like say that it fits four people, but it's just two people or a family of three. They don't force an extra person in the car. They just let, even if one person wants to go by themselves, one person can go. Well, we're in line and we get up there and the two people in front of us get in. Well, I just walk in.
Do you go in with them?
Yes, I get in the car with them.
Did you like do it on purpose?
Well, that's what I thought was supposed to happen.
Okay, based on previous experiences.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, did Josh stop and you just got on?
No, Josh came with me and he kind of looked at me funny and I was like, what?
And please tell me you're in all these people's like family photos.
I don't think so, but they looked at me funny and Josh looked at me funny and the person operating the ride kind of looked and was like, you guys gonna all go together? And I was just like, well, yeah, what's the deal? And like, halfway through, I realized that this was really awkward.
Like, what ride was it? Do you remember?
Well, it was one of the ones that gets like, not like Space Mountain or anything. Okay. So it was like
it's the wife shot swapping
please,
ride.
Please tell me.
It's got on.
It's the ride you have to like look at each other. It's like the Haunted Mansion or whatever where there's the mirrors.
It wasn't the teacups or anything weird like that. But it was one like, I think this one was like Pinocchio or something where you're just going really slow in the car and you're going by and you're seeing all the different scenes. Yeah, it was pretty awful. Like, we got off the ride, and I just beelined straight away.
So you realized. So yes. I mean, you definitely like caught wind. Like, what? How? Like, what happened? Like, what sparked it? Like,
nothing. I was just like, oh, I guess they didn't want to go.
Were they cutting you like evil glances?
No, well, they were behind us. That made it worse. I sat in front of them so they couldn't see very well.
So you should turn around and be like, so you guys, do you guys party?
Yeah. And so now I never knew that was a thing. And now that I know that these shame flashbacks are a thing, occasionally I will think about that and feel bad. Feel embarrassed.
I didn't know that. So that makes you feel any better. Have you been now both to Disneyland and Disney World?
I've never been to Disney World. No.
Okay, I've been to Disney World, so we need to flip-flop and then come back on this show and compare notes.
I don't know, like, because the rides are different, aren't they?
Yeah, because I do not know anything about a Pinocchio ride. Like, does Geppetto come out at the end?
No, but like, we had, like, there was Space Mountain and...
Yeah, there's Space Mountain at
Space,
World.
Space Mountain was pretty awesome, and then there was the teacups, and then there was the Pirates of the Caribbean ride was really cool, so it was a good time.
Tyler, have you been to both?
I've been to, no, I've never been to California.
I haven't either. I'm terrified of it, aren't you?
I guess the closest the closest we've both been is New Mexico.
Yeah. But,
or no, I was in Vegas. Vegas was the closest I've been to California.
Before we started recording, Nicole, you asked me if I had any irrational fears, and my immediate answer was jail. I guess a second, very shortly behind jail, would be California.
I try to get Dave to watch Oz.
So no. Alcatraz is like completely out. I'll never tour Alcatraz.
Oh man, I've been to World, I think, 3 times now. I really like Disney World, but I'd love to go to Disneyland, but that's always seemed like a far-fetched fantasy to go to Disneyland.
Well, you've got Kenna now, so you have a legitimate excuse to.
Oh man, those fucking. Meg and I have looked up like the price points and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, hey, we're never going to take her here ever.
Is it that expensive?
Yeah, it's crazy expensive. Like if you want to go to like one of the local hotels, like it's like full experience, like as you want that you'd want to give your kid.
Like the quote unquote on campus hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, oh man.
Well,
it's like we can do that or we can get
send her to college.
Or she can, is that an associate's degree? You can take her back.
Well, just FYI, a one-day pass to Disneyland is cheaper than a one-day pass to SeaWorld.
Oh, God, I've been to SeaWorld, too. SeaWorld is not worth it.
We've been to SeaWorld, too, and, yeah, it was overpriced, and, yeah, Disneyland
I love cheaper, SeaWorld. It was much better. Man, as a kid, I loved SeaWorld. I came home with that SeaWorld Celebration VHS tape, which I think is on YouTube, by the way. If anyone wants to watch it, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty good. It's probably the best. I mean, it's probably the best. I'd put it up against Blackfish any day.
Because Brendan of Axelay fame and I went to Disney and Islands of Adventure and SeaWorld and all that. And I think there's a pretty humorous picture of us all in his Aerostar van on the drive. I'll see if I can put that in the show notes. But
I drove that Aerostar van for a weekend.
That was a good Aerostar van.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed our theme park discussion. Yeah. I think we should probably put a pin in this and come back to it next time.
Okay. I guess for now, we can do... do you hear that, Dave?
Nope. Is that the Roach Train? Yeah. From Beetlejuice?
That is the Ready to Horrify Nicole.
That's what you needed here is Beetlejuice. No, I don't hear what a buzzing?
It's the Dave reads from Wikipedia Roach.
Oh. Yeah, okay, I guess. That makes sense. Introducing a little segment that we like to call Dave reads from Wikipedia. It's been doing it so long, I don't even know how to say it anymore. To be fair, you sprayed like an insane amount of pesticide in this room.
Yep.
And I made a joke earlier about maybe having like a breakdown in the middle of the show. I think that might actually happen. It feels like I've got a film inside my mouth. Is anyone else experiencing this?
No, but I'm pretty used to this pesticide.
You're pretty good. All right. Well, I'll power through. Okay, guys, the Stanley Parable is an interactive story modification built on the Source game engine. It was developed by Davey Redden. Do you know if that's right, Tyler?
Nope.
Ugh, we were ill-prepared. And was released in July 2011. A high-definition remastered standalone version, including new story elements, was developed by Redden and Source modeler William Pugh. Man, should have like gone on YouTube to see if I could find. This is a sad thing. It's like when I don't know how to pronounce someone's name, I just go to YouTube and I'm like, hopefully someone said this guy's name at some point.
You hope they said it right.
Yeah. Well, even if they didn't, I have an out because I'd be like, no. Bradley XYX said it this way. Let's see. While both the mod and the remake use the first-person perspective common to other Source engine mods, there are no combat or other action-based sequences. Instead, the player controls the protagonist, Stanley, through a surreal environment, with each step of the process narrated, voiced by British actor Kevin Brighting. The player has the opportunity to make numerous decisions on which paths to take, including going against what the narration is telling them to do, each choice leading to different narrations and endings. It goes on for quite a bit. I'm probably going to end there because I feel like that's a sufficient introduction.
Because it's hard to try and summarize it like that because it's...
Yeah, it is. And I kind of want to like lead this off. I want to kick off this conversation with something that I'm sure is on everyone's mind. Is this a game? is the Stanley Parable a game? Because the whole time I was playing it, I was asking myself this question. Is this a game?
It's the game. It's a game in the sense that the onion is a news source.
Okay.
So yeah. But it's satirical.
Yeah.
No. But I would say you make choices and you play through it. So I think it's a game. It's just...
I was going to say, what criteria are you using to think that it wouldn't be?
No, hey, look, I don't think... I think it's more of a commentary on a game than it is a game. So very much like your answer with the onion, Tyler. Mm. I think that this is... it's hard. I never came to a conclusion. At the end, I was like, well, I mean, it does meet certain criteria because there's an ending to it, you know? You interact with this environment, but at the same time, it kind of felt like, you know, there's this line between what's a game and what's interactive fiction. Are they the same? Can they be the same? Or are they distinctly different? And that's kind of what I ended up coming out of this with, was that that they are the same. Because a lot of people don't even think that Phoenix Wright, for example, short of the puzzles in it, are games. They consider interactive fiction.
I still think interactive fiction is a game of sorts. Like, I think Heavy Rain is a game.
See, and that's also one that a lot of people will say isn't a game. Because, I mean, when you really stop and think about it, you're not really doing a whole lot. The Walking Dead is also one that people bring up often. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious.
Well, anything with a linear story, I guess, is interactive fiction, because you're on those rails. I guess all you're doing is just seeing how long it takes you to progress through. So I guess, I mean, anything falls under that if you're being really, really picky. But it's game. You got a controller, it's a game, man.
Yeah. Nicole, what do you think? Game, not a game?
I think that if you say it's not a game, then you're a game snob.
A game snob? I don't know. I feel like game snobs are more likely to say, And when I say game snob, I just think of like someone who like exclusively plays independent releases and then like no AAA. Like, I feel like they would be like, this is a game. But I feel like the sorry Sam of Megalixir, I feel like the Call of Duty bros would be the kind of guys who are like, this is not a game.
The people that Josh says are not gamers.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I have my own opinions about shoot shit games anyway.
Shoot shit games, yeah. Right.
But this is they not make you sick. They make you sick, so you don't play them.
Aside from that.
Is it because of all the motion?
That's why they make me sick. But
did you encounter that during the Stanley Parable?
Only in, I don't know, like, if you got to this point, but there's one point where the narrator asks you to walk in a circle and a line appears on the floor walk in a circle.
The confusion ending.
Yes, which was my favorite one. But you walk in a circle. Like, I did it. I walked in the circle and I only did it a few times and I was like, no, I can't do this. It's going to make me sick.
But this is especially not a shoot shit game.
Yes.
I mean, you do walk around.
Right.
But you don't shoot
it's
things.
A choose shit game.
It's a choose shit game. Right, exactly.
Or don't choose.
Yeah, or don't choose. Yeah, that's true. That's one of the things I really liked about this game, was that there is a story, but I feel like in order to understand the story, you need to get multiple endings. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, you have to break mm-hmm. it. Yeah, there is a linear story that's about 3 minutes long, mm-hmm. and that you could beat the game, but the challenge is, I mean, really, it's a game in the sense that it's a challenge to break the narrator. You're trying to figure out different ways to break the narrator.
Well, and there are clear objectives. I mean, you're right. That's one is, I mean, you break the narrator to get different endings. Mm-hmm. And then there is, like you said, there is an objective that you can pretty much finish in 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's a game. I mean, there's a beginning, there's an end to it.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll say spoilers.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. We're going to, I don't feel like there's any way we can talk about this game without spoiling it.
And I feel like we... As much as we experienced it, and we'll discuss like the endings and things to do, I'm sure there's more out there people are still finding.
Oh yeah, I mean, I played this game for probably 3 hours today, and Nicole, you mentioned the confusion ending. Mm-hmm. I know I didn't get that. I know there are areas that I didn't explore yet. Mm-hmm. And I
looked on different sites, and I couldn't find anybody that agreed on how many endings there were.
Really, mm-hmm. I love that.
Well, you were the first one of us to own this. Because I remember mm-hmm. we were eating out one night, and you were like, oh, hey, about the Stanley Parable, played it, I really like it. Mm-hmm. Like, what drew you to this game to buy it, like, on Steam, on a whim?
It looks so different, basically.
Okay.
How would you say it's different from your typical game?
you don't shoot shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't.
Like, I mean, it. That's a big point.
Basically just making decisions and
there's very
it's really hard. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I know there's very little twitch element to it at all. Like
Russ Freshtick would not like the Stanley Parable.
No, probably not. I know they talked about it on the Besties. I can't remember what his opinion was. How many endings did you get, Nicole?
I got seven.
I got a handful. I probably got like five endings.
I got seven. The highest total that I found on any website was 18.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no, I did not get that many.
So I think I got nine. We'll break it down.
Yeah, what happens?
See what our overlapping endings
because
are.
Because you're Stanley, and the narrator's telling, you know, describing Stanley as like this normal humdrum guy, goes to work, like some kind of like data entry maybe.
Tells him when to push the button and what button to push and for how long to push it.
Yeah, and they show this video of Stanley at
it's probably the Lost Island.
Yeah,
and so,
the Dharma Initiative.
And you're just, yeah, he's in a cubicle and suddenly like...
He's in office.
An office in his little room, numbered room where he sits and...
427.
I was just about to ask.
Where he realizes... No one else is in his office, and the narrator sort of walks him through. Stanley wondered about this. Stanley walked through this doorway. Stanley then decided to go here, here, and here, and then you find out what happens to the rest of your crew and your workmates and things like that.
Yeah, because it's deserted.
Yep. And yeah, it's just Stanley in this vacant office building.
And did you guys notice, not to, you know, steer you off the course too bad, but did the game fucks with you? Like, it totally... I had this thing where I played the game for a little bit, and then I quit it, and I started it back up from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And when I played it the first time, it was just an empty office, right? Mm-hmm. And then when I restarted the game, it was the same office, and it was still no one there. It was unoccupied, but there were just papers all over the floor. Mm-hmm. And it was just like... It was like that. It's, you said Lost earlier, Tyler. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a Lost moment where it's like, what the fuck just happened?
Well, see, I got a phone call.
Yeah, I got that too from Stanley's girlfriend. List.
And
yeah.
And then the next time, that's when the papers appeared everywhere.
See, okay.
I answered the phone.
That happened to me too. So clearly those events are linked.
Well, there's other things too. Like, it doesn't always say the same thing when you restart. And then there's one of the endings. If you restart it and everything's blue, there's a particular ending that you can get. And then
really? What do you mean everything's blue?
Everything's blue, like everything looks blue.
Really? Mm-hmm. No, that I did not experience that.
I didn't get that one,
but
I read
it. The Picasso ending? Yeah, I remember that one.
And then there's even smaller things. Like there's one where you're walking through one of the very first corridors and there's some filing cabinets and there's all the mugs are everywhere.
Yeah.
You find mugs everywhere. And there's one that's spilled over sometimes and sometimes it's not.
Interesting.
Little things like that.
See, I love that because like I can't sit here and really name another game that I've experienced that in.
That's really good.
Yeah. Because really, okay, spoilers are the normal ending. Because you do exactly what the narrator says, go through all the doors that he says you go through, and you go to the bowels of the office building, and it turns out it's a big mind control experiment. All the workers are being mind controlled, and then Stanley gets to turn the machine off and save them and leave the office. And that's it. But the first big crux is... A few rooms in, there are two doors, and the narrator says, Stanley then entered the left door.
And you don't have to.
Yeah, that's when shit goes crazy, is if you enter the right door.
Uh-huh.
So then that's when stuff starts spiraling out, and you can do all sorts of different things. Because then basically the game starts poking fun at every trope of gaming for the last 10 years.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because it starts talking about, I mean, I feel like this game is about a lot of stuff.
I was going to say, like, even just talking about the first ending, it's commentary on itself that the first ending you are free, like you are released from this mind control facility by obeying commands.
Right, exactly. So and then they start bringing in, like, free will and predestination, which is really interesting. And they start talking about the relationship between a game designer and the player and how they need each other in order to complete a story and how if one doesn't uphold their end of the bargain, everything goes to hell, which happens when you start going through the right door and you start disobeying the narrator. I'm sure you guys got this ending where, anything the narrator told me to do, I didn't do. And there's like even a point where you cross this lift, right? And mm-hmm. there's this lift in the warehouse. Mm-hmm. And I saw this little walkway down below. And mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to get on that walkway. And it's hilarious, man, because like the narration makes this game. Like, I don't think they could have like... This game wouldn't have been nearly as powerful if they didn't have this narrator. And for some reason, like... choosing a British narrator was like such a brilliant decision because as I was playing it, I was like, if this had been like an American narrator or anyone with a different kind of accent, I don't think that I would have gotten the enjoyment out of it because there's something about the way that he talks kind of makes me want to disobey him a little bit.
Because he sounds condescending.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like talking in this like sing-song like story time kind of voice, and like that kind of at times it was just like, oh,
fuck,
I just
this guy
exactly. So I get on this little walkway, right, and I love it because like he's in the middle of narrating and he's like, you weren't supposed to do that, or
I was talking here, but that's fine, it's about you then.
Right,
why don't you do whatever you want to do.
Oh, I love that. And I love mm-hmm. that the game is responsive in that way because it is like that's something that would normally break a game, but this is designed that way. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the point where I love this. He tells you to go through a blue door or a red door. Mm-hmm. And the narrator says, give me the opportunity. He says, trust me and I'll show you something beautiful. And I tried it both ways because mm-hmm. I wanted to see what happens. I'm sure you guys probably did too. Mm-hmm. If you go through, he tells you, I think, to go through the red door, right? Mm-hmm. If you go through the red door, like it leads like to this auditorium that kind of like just has like all these like beautiful colors. It kind of looks like when you turn the visualization on in Winamp. It kind of looks like that. And like I stood there and looked at it for, I mean, probably like 2 minutes. And then I was like, all right, I'm ready to like keep doing stuff. So you leave the room. I left the room and the narrator's like, wait, where are you going? And there's just this stairwell. He's like, please don't go to the stairs. It's dangerous. And then like you climb up, like it's circular stairwell. I climbed up like 4 stories and then there's just the stairs end. And it's like, you look down and it's just ground below you. And it's just kind of like,
Stanley, don't right. do this. Yeah. We're having such a good time, Stanley. I trusted you. Don't shatter this. Don't do this to us.
And I just walk off the edge. And then you hear this bone crunching sound. The screen goes red. You're not dead. And the narrator just continues to plead with you. Please go back. I created something beautiful for you. Why don't you like what I've created? Is it not good enough? And then I guess I do that like 2 more times. And then the screen goes black. Mm-hmm. And is that an ending, right?
You kill yourself, yeah.
But if you go through the blue door,
he's begging you at the last time. He's like, it's gonna restart again.
Yeah,
or we're going to lose this. All this that we built is gonna be destroyed. Stanley, please, and you're dead, and start over.
I love that because that's the first inclination that I got where it's like, oh, they're like this game is talking about games, and it's talking about a game developer or designer trying to please and understand the motivations of a player. And it was interesting because like. I internalize things a lot, and the moment I left that auditorium with all like the beautiful glowing lights and walked into that stairwell, I was thinking to myself, the only reason I'm doing this is because I want to see what else there is. Like that's my only motivation, is that I want to see what's up this stairwell. Even when he tells me that there's nothing there except for death, I'm like, well, I mean, we're going to find out one way or another, aren't we?
Because if you go through the blue door, and then you have to go through the blue door several times, because you go through, yeah. And the red door, he starts putting arrows around the red door and circling the red door until you keep going through the blue door until he's like, oh, I haven't even finished this section yet. That's why I didn't want you to go through. And then...
it's all untextured. Like, the yeah. game, like, it's all untextured. It's just, like, I wouldn't say wireframe, but it's all, like, orange walls with, yeah. like, labels on them, like, wall 1602.1. By the way, I want to do one of my office walls exactly like that.
Because you go through that, you're in there, and then he finally decides, like, well, okay. Hey, why don't you rate your experience for me? And
yeah.
then you can go through and rate what you think about that. And then he's like, well, we've been kind of spitballing this new game. Why don't you try this game? And it's awful because it's fire. It's like fire cut out on a stick, and then a baby cut out on a stick. And the baby's trying to get into the fire, and you have to press the space bar to push the baby back.
That's all it is.
That's all right. It is.
And he says you need to play test it for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Which I didn't do.
There's no way, because it makes such, every time you press the space bar, there's just an awful noise. It does everything to discourage you from doing this. But that's how you get the famous art ending.
I figured. You'd mention that.
If you play all 4 hours, because eventually, like, once you get 3 hours in, then he's like, oh, I feel like I'm not impressing this lesson in on you enough. So then you have to press 2 buttons to keep the baby out of the fire and to keep the puppy out of a shredder. So you're constantly moving back and forth trying to save both. And once it's over, then it's like this, it's a very artsy kind of, everything fades to white. And then it's like black texture on a white background. Like,
so you did this?
I watched the YouTube of this. There's no way I was going to say that. I tried it for about 15 minutes.
You made it longer than I did, my friend. You made it a lot longer. Do you think, all right, my question is with this, I mean, is this like commentary on game testing? Like, that's what I thought of when I was sitting there playing it, was that, and this, the only reason I say this is because I used to play World of Warcraft, and in the guild, there was a guy who was a playtester, and we all, like, asked this guy all kinds of questions, because it sounds like a really good job. It sounds like an interesting job. And his he would always have horror stories, because, like, I think he game tested the Hannah Montana game, and like he was just telling us, it's like, it's never anything you want to play. It's you don't want to play it. You go into work, you clock in, and you play this game that you don't want to play for 8 hours, and you make notes about what's messed up. And that's what this part of the game reminded me of. It reminded me of this, all the stories this guy would tell me. So I just think it's interesting because they're talking about all kinds of different things that go into the production of a game.
I didn't think about that. That's good.
I know there's also like, okay, so I didn't finish the baby. I mean, I tried like 3 times and I was like, this baby's going to get burned up. I'm done trying. And then like he takes you to another game because mm-hmm. like, all right, there's maybe something else that you'd like, right? Mm-hmm. And then that's where he puts you in Minecraft.
Yeah.
And says that he wants to explore an open world environment. And the narrator starts building a house. You don't see him the whole time. And by the way, did anyone else, like, whenever the narrator's talking and there's nothing to do, did you look up? Like, I found myself looking up, like, all the time. like, just hoping that I'd see some flying British man. So, like, he sends you to get diamonds or something to build a better house. And then he sends you down, you know, you go down this mine. And then he says, you know what? This is too open. I don't think I like this. We're going to do something more linear. And then he sucks you from that world and then drops you into Portal, mm-hmm. essentially, where you solve, I guess, the first puzzle in Portal, pretty much.
Like, you put a companion cube into the...
And then he immediately says, no, I don't like this either. And then what happens? Because I don't remember.
I just put the baby and I didn't get the portal in.
Oh, okay. I remember then. He says, all right, this isn't working either. He gets tired of you. He says, I'm done trying to please you. You can do whatever you want. And the narrator disappears. And eventually I found a hole in the portal level and I dropped down and the game is even more broken. It's like even like more textures are missing. I wandered around for a little bit and it's really weird because like the narrator's been your companion throughout this whole thing. There's just silence. And then I found another hole and dropped down into it. And it's like the world is even more broken. And then I maybe not remembering this correctly, but then I think, the screen just goes black and that's it.
That makes sense. Yeah. That happened to me a few times on some endings where you just have to force start over. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Did you guys take the, what do they call it? The exit. Was it the emergency exit or something like that? When you're going to the mind control room.
The escape.
Yeah. There's like this little like hand-drawn sign, right? That says escape. Mm-hmm. And it's pointing to the left through like a corridor. Mm-hmm. Did anyone take that corridor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did too. I did too, but I feel like I'm talking way too much.
You're discouraged from going down because the entire time you're walking down, he's saying, you know, Stanley will meet certain death at the end of this corridor. Like the entire time you're going down. So you're discouraged from going. But discouraged, encouraged, I guess. Discouraged by him, but, you know, since he's discouraging you, it makes you want to do it. So
you get an ending this way, right? Mm-hmm. Because you do go down that end of the hallway, and mm-hmm. what's at the end of the hallway?
You drop down the floor.
and you fall into like this like trash compactor contraption, right? There's like this like these big slamming blocks next to each other that are just destroying things on a conveyor belt, and you're on that conveyor belt like kind of trapped in this, I don't know, cube. And what happens then? You like start moving towards it, and you're about to get smashed. And then
you get a female narrator.
Yeah. Like the game kind of breaks again. And she is saying,
she's like narrating on the narrator, essentially.
Yeah. Like she's reading notes. And then like the bottom of this conveyor belt opens up and you fall into this like white walled museum.
Museum. Yeah.
And it's got like all these art elements from the game, which you can, I mean, you can spend a lot of time.
I did spend a lot of time. I read all the signs and everything. It was really interesting.
And it actually, I think it's what was really cool about it is it gave me insight to other endings. Because there are little clues where I was like, oh yeah, I should try that. Because they talk about things like, we originally intended this, but ended up going with this in the final version. Did you get that ending, Tyler?
Okay.
That's a pretty like common one, I assume, right?
I got the designer's ending, I guess, is what you'd call it.
It's the museum ending.
The museum ending? Okay. Because I got that. Let's see. The easiest, I think the first ending I got was the death ending when you jump off the moving platform.
That is called the powerful ending because he says that the narrator says, oh, yes, Stanley wanted to show how powerful he
is. And that goes back into that, like, freedom of choice thing, I thought, because that's, I mean, really interesting, I think, from a game design standpoint, because if you do whatever you want to, you're not going to get to the conclusion that you want or the game designer.
Did you read the sign before you got on the moving platform?
What's it say?
It says, do not, you know, move off platform will cause death. And then underneath that, it says, fine for misuse of platform, $1,000. Fine for jumping off platform, $5,000.
Did you? What, there's a caution sign that cracked me up. I think it was. It said like danger, and then like down below it just said many dangers near or something like that. I was like, all right.
Because there's another ending where you can jump out of one of the windows.
Oh, really?
I didn't get that one, but I read about it.
Yeah, because like, you can like back out of it because you can kind of trap yourself where if you go as soon as you cross through a threshold, the door normally will shut behind you.
Yeah,
you can jump back in again, and the door will shut permanently sealing. So you can do that in order to like dash through and jump out a window. And I remember the guy who discovered it said he felt like it was a glitch, and the narrator was like, oh, well, I guess that's one way you can go about it. And then start over.
Did you feel like this game, like to me when I was playing it, I might not have had this experience if the game hadn't legitimately crashed the first time I played it. Like my Steam client just crashed. And so after that, I started it back up. And then when things got really weird like that, when you said that the guy thought the game had glitched out, like I was constantly on edge because like when something would happen, I would be like, is this intentional? Like, is this like in that ending where I dropped through the two floors and it was everything just went black? I was like, and I literally had to hit escape and go to restart game. And like, I was like, is this really like what I'm supposed to do? Like, how long am I going to poke around in the darkness waiting for the narrator to say anything? And usually it was too long. It was like 5 minutes would go by. I was like, okay, maybe I just need to restart it. But I've always got this little bit of doubt inside where it's like, oh man, if I just wait like maybe two more minutes, maybe the narrator says something.
What are the endings that you get, Nicole?
Other than the ones we've talked about, I got the insane ending where you go downstairs instead of upstairs.
When tells
you,
the boss's office?
Yeah, he tells you to go upstairs to the boss's office or you go downstairs.
I haven't done that one.
I really like that one a lot. You fly through space.
Yeah, you're running through in just circles and then...
Yeah, it keeps...
This is a dream.
Yeah, he tells you, Stanley has convinced himself that he's dreaming, and so if he's a dream, he can fly. So then you lift up off the ground, and then you can fly through space, and so then it turns into black with stars.
Awesome.
And then he's like, okay, I'm tired of this dream, so Stanley closed his eyes, and then it looks like you're closing your eyes, and then you open your eyes, and you're still there. And so then it cuts to, like, Stanley has on the sidewalk and has dropped dead. And Mariella, I think is the name of the woman, who comes and like sees Stanley drop dead on the sidewalk. And she's thinking about, oh, you know, she's so sad because this man couldn't tell reality from whatever. And then, but then she remembers that she has a big day coming up and she has a meeting with really important people who are, you know, their opinions matter. And so then she like leaves.
Do you actually see her?
You see, it's like a still shot of Stanley laying on the sidewalk and she's like got her hand over her mouth looking over his body.
Because that would be like the only person you see, right? Or do you see anyone else?
Well, there's another one where you get a mannequin where the narrator tries the story.
The evil narrator ending.
The death of a man named Stanley with the mannequin. And that was the creepy one.
Now, how'd you get that?
It is creepy.
It is really creepy.
Because that's the one where you take the platform, because of course you go in the door he tells you not to go in.
Right.
You ride the platform across.
Uh-huh.
And then when you go in, then the narrator switches. You need to get her back, Stanley.
Yeah.
Out of the blue.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then you go through and you pick up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You walk into a room where it's just suddenly a black room, light comes on to a, you know, old-fashioned, like, rotary-style phone that's ringing.
I got to that point. What I did was...
So you did the same thing
I did. Oh, my God. Like, this game literally made me laugh so many times. Like, I have never... I shouldn't say never. It's very rare. Like, this game got responses from me. Like, I mean, there were moments where I was literally laughing playing this game because the phone was ringing and I noticed this long cord that was going from the phone to the wall. And I just kind of looked at the phone and it was annoying me. Like the way the phone was ringing was annoying me. So I went back around to the outlet and I was just kind of messing around. I didn't expect this to actually do anything. I clicked on the power outlet and you unplug the phone. And the narrator's like, wait, what?
That's not in the pages.
Yeah, you start shuffling the pages. Oh, man, it was awesome. And then you go into, he goes into this other thing where it's like, that's where the narrator shuts the game down, right?
Yeah, because things eventually, you're breaking the game. Yeah, stuff like starts looking fucked up, and you go into rooms that are half the size, and they're
the file cabinets everywhere. Are all like crammed, and like the geometry does not make sense. And at this point, I'm still like disobeying the narrator. He's like, "We can still get through this, but I need you to go through the left door." Nah, I think I'm gonna go to the right door. And I go to the right door. He's like, "There's no chance now," because you go to the right door, and it's like everything is like really glitched out. Like the frames are all like split and doesn't make sense. And then you wind up in this room where you can't get out of. And he's like, thanks a lot. We're going to have to shut the game down now.
Yep.
So like everything goes dark and then restart.
He shuts it down once. And then again, it's more fucked up. And they're like red lights.
Yeah.
And he's screaming at you.
Oh, he is mad. You broke the game. Why did you do this? So, okay, I'm sorry. I took that on a tangent. But I feel like that's what Stanley Parable is all about. It's like all these, like exploring all these tangents. I never answered the phone. What happens if you answer the phone?
Because you answer the phone and it's Stanley's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells you to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another decision that you have to make after this to where you can have the narrator be nice to you or the narrator just fucks you over. And I think it gives you a chance to go through the door again after you answer the phone. If you disobey him, and then you end up going back to your apartment,
mm-hmm.
and like you see the door, and when your wife is like, "Oh, Stanley, I miss you so much," blah blah. When you open the door, then it's just a mannequin,
mm-hmm.
and then he laughs at you and says, "You know, like, you know, come on in. It's not like you have any choice." And like you turn and run away, and he slams a brick wall in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and you have to go in this tiny apartment where he like mocks you.
He tells the story called "The Death of a Man Named Stanley," and as he's telling it, the apartment turns into his office.
Oh, like
different elements switch out and slowly turns into his office.
I'm glad
he ends up back in his office.
I was a little worried it was going to be like the cuckolding ending or something. That's like, that sounded like it was going somewhere really dark. Like,
you're not married, Stanley. Right. No one loves you.
And then the narrator starts humping the mannequin. It's really, I don't know.
And he's like, watch, go to bed, Stanley. And then it's like, press X to go to bed. And you can't do anything else but press X. And then he laughs at you when you press X. And then, yeah.
Interesting.
Eventually, you're trapped back in your office, and then you die.
Huh. Is that the Heavy Rain ending?
Let's see. I guess the ending, if you don't leave your office at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get it, but I read.
Yeah. If you shut the door back and then just wait, the narrator like gets mad at you and tells you to keep going.
Awesome.
But you just sit there until eventually you die.
Like he kills you, or you just like die of natural causes?
I think he kills you, yeah.
Awesome.
The countdown ending to where you go to the very end where you're supposed to free all the people.
Uh-huh.
If you instead choose to control the mind controlling device.
Because you can shut it down, right? Or not.
Or turn it on. Uh-huh. Yeah. And if you turn it on, and then he's like, what the hell, Stanley? What are you doing? You had a chance for freedom. And then basically he's like, fine, you know what? I'm going to blow this whole place up. You've got 2 minutes to try and stop it. So then you go back out to this one room with all these like numbered panels and lights and things like that. And you have the big timer, how much you have left.
Yeah.
And you're trying to run around and press the buttons to try and stop the countdown. He's like, well, you're getting pretty close. You know what? I'll give you another minute. And he's mocking you the whole time you're doing it. He's like, you know, you can't stop this. You just can't. And then, like, he's mocking you until the timer runs out. And
is it possible? That's it. Do you know?
I've looked on so many forums, and they're all like, some people be like, I think if you do this and this and this and this and this and this, then somebody else is like, this is the point of the game.
Yeah.
No, you cannot stop it.
I don't know. I don't know, man. This game's full of surprises. Did you see the Reddit post, I think today, that was about the Stanley Parable? Yeah. The readme mm-hmm. text file that's included in the game?
Sup.
Yeah, you open it up and it just says sup. Oh, man. What other endings did I miss completely?
Your favorite was the confusion ending.
Yes.
Is that different from the insanity ending?
Yes. The confusion ending is when you go into the maintenance area before you take the platform that goes across, there's an elevator to the left. If you take the elevator down, you get the confusion ending, which it restarts several times. And each time the narrator's like, okay, we're just going to have to start over and try again. And then like the third or fourth time that you restart, you get a yellow line. That's like, okay, follow this line. And
yeah,
then,
this Stanley Parable adventure line. And then you have to follow through it.
And then you get to the point where you're in this big, like, it's the wall, and it shows exactly what you've done. Each restart, and the narrator's like, no, this can't be right. And it shows, like, that after this restart, the narrator's going to forget that he saw that. And then the line, like, goes like crazy. The line's, like, up on the wall and, like, making all...
breaking
like,
through the ceiling and going through the place.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to get that one, too. I mean, we did say we were going to spoil this game. I kind of wish... I feel like we should have told them... Like, I wish I could have told the listener before we started giving all the endings that I really liked this game. And that I think that people should try it. Mm-hmm. Because... I got it on sale, I think, at some point for $5 on Steam, and it was definitely worth that. I think it's regularly like, is it like $7.50 or something like that?
Yeah, it wasn't much.
It's
when it first came out, I think it was like $15. This is the highest it's been.
I don't think that I paid $15 for it.
I think it's worth $15. I enjoyed this game. Like, I kind of put this game in the same box as I put Gone Home.
Yeah,
and okay. I think this is also in that same category where people are like, eh, Gone Home's not a game. I mean, it's just this game is special. Like, this is, there's nothing, I can't think of anything like it. And it like encourages you to think about things. And it's a very, I guess, cerebral game is a way that I would put it, because it's not, like you said, Nicole, it's not a shoot shit game. Mm-hmm. It's a game where you make decisions, and those decisions make you think. Regardless of whether or not it's illusion of choice or whatever, it doesn't matter, because it's not about the choices. It's about what the choices make you think about. And I thought that was really, really cool.
You want to talk about the achievements? Because the achievements in this game are something different.
Yeah, I would love to talk about the achievements. I have achievements for this game because I liked it so much. I know we don't normally do that when the game has achievements.
Well, I wanted to ask before you move on too far. Did you guys, because you talked about how much you liked the narration, did you ever just, like, how much time did you spend, like, waiting, like, in the employee lounge? Like, how long did you wait? Did you hear everything that he had to say?
I waited a long time in the employee lounge. It seemed like there was a lot of different stuff.
Like, at one point, he's like, this speaks poorly about Stanley's overall character, that he is so obsessed with this room. And did you stay in the broom closet? Like,
oh, the broom closet was ending. Hilarious.
Oh, there's a broom closet ending? I went in the broom closet.
You have to make it yourself. Really?
How do you mean you have to make it yourself?
Well, because you go in the broom closet, and tells you.
I wrote down what he told me. If you stay in the broom closet, eventually he starts saying things, and he says, you must be addicted to drugs and hookers at one point because you're just in this room and in the broom closet for no reason. The reason I went in the broom closet is because in the meeting room.
Do you see it on the whiteboard?
Yes.
Yeah, it says something like Chris is
stuck. Get Chris out of the broom closet.
I saw that too.
But then he'd like just insults you essentially until he says that you're addicted to drugs and hookers. And then he comes to the conclusion that since you are just standing in the broom closet doing anything, that the player must be dead. And so then he starts yelling out. He's like, anyone please come get this person's body and then take over the controls. And after he says that, if you move out, then he says, oh, player two, thanks for joining the game. The broom closet was really funny.
Well, then if you go back in, it's like, oh, God, not you too. Oh.
No, there. I definitely didn't hear everything the narrator has to say.
That was one of my, like, and at the very beginning, if you go through and you click on all the doors, he will say something along the lines, and then Stanley clicked on all the doors because he's really bad at picking up cues from his surroundings.
Which kind of leads us to the achievements, because there is an achievement where there's no indication in the game about achievements, right? Mm-hmm. Am I correct in saying that? Mm-hmm. It's you only can see what achievements you unlock through the Steam dashboard.
Yeah.
And one of the achievements that I saw was, you may remember the door number, Nicole. I don't.
I think it's 430.
430. It's like click on door 435 times. Mm-hmm. And it brings me back to, like, what I love about this game is that it makes you, like, it's just so smart in the commentary. And it makes you think, because I went to the dashboard. I was like, I really like this game. I wonder if there's any achievements I could unlock. So I pull it up. I'm like, that looks like an easy one. Click on this door 5 times. So I go back into the game, click on the door 5 times, and the narrator's like, oh, this doesn't seem like a sufficient amount of effort for an achievement. I think you need to click on door 417 10 times. Yeah. And then, like, he sends you, like, running around doing all this bullshit, essentially. Like, get up on top of one of your coworkers' desks, and then he sends you to click on the copy machine, until which finally he's like, all right, you did it. Great. And then the achievement pops up. Yeah. And it's like, I love that, because that's a commentary on achievements and how, like, stupid they can be. Yeah. Just like, they just get you to do things that don't make any sense in the game. It's just extra bullshit that you do for an achievement. And I love it, because, like, when the achievement pops up, it's all, like, super sparkly. And it's just like, oh, this achievement is so good. I love that.
You get one for turning on achievements.
Oh, really?
They're disabled at first. So
it's,
you can
called
go
achievement.
To, yeah.
They're disabled?
Yeah. So you might, once you enable them, yeah, achievement.
Oh, interesting. I guess I did that and didn't notice. Because
I think that they're enabled at first, because I had to go back in and they were disabled. They were enabled in first and then they disabled themselves. And you have to go back in and enable them again.
Maybe that's why I didn't get the speedrun achievement, because there's one where you finish the game and, like, 2 minutes, 30 seconds?
4 minutes, 22 seconds.
4 minutes, 22? Check you out. Which I thought that I did.
Look at the banker knowing numbers.
I thought that I did. I thought I pulled it off and then nothing popped. Yeah. And so maybe it turned my achievements off.
I have to check on it and see. Because there's one that...
I bet you have to play through it a few times in order to do that. Because then you have to, like, know the password in the boss's office.
Right, which I wrote down. So I was ready to go with that.
Like, I went there and, like, I just fucked around.
Did you? I sat there and the very first time you go into the boss's office and I clicked just random numbers other than the ones he told me.
Yeah, I did too.
And I just love that you just do it until he's like, okay, well, the failsafe is going off, and then the door opens anyway. Yeah.
Well, like, if did either of you try to get the speedrun achievement?
Yeah.
Like, when you get to the, or at least when I got to the boss's office, like, the narrator's like, okay, essentially, he's like, you're going too fast. I think we need, he's like, I'm not even able to get through the narration before you get into the next room. So I'm going to need you to relax for a little bit. And then he, like, plays this, like, soft, like, techno music for, like, it's like 20 seconds. Like, even if it's not that long, it feels like an excruciating amount of time because I'm just trying to get through it so fast. And then finally, he's like, okay, now that you're calmed down, let's continue on.
Well, he also does that in the confusion ending,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's like, let's lighten the mood a little bit. And he plays some music for a while.
This very adventure, like, Robin Hood-esque music while you're jumping and running around. And then he stops it when you pass a fern.
He said, look at this fern. It's very important. You don't want to miss anything.
Just look at it. Take it in. It's very important later. And then you keep going. There's an achievement for not playing the Stanley Parable for 5 years after you start it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that real?
We'll see.
There's one for playing it for the duration of a Tuesday.
Yeah, and is that like a work day? I hope it is. Like, I hope you have to, like, start playing it from, like, 9 to 5.
Let's see. There's the achievement you can't unlock. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to unlock it.
Which, what is that? Come on.
I bet it's unlockable. So you always, you only have 9 out of 10 achievements for Stanley Parable.
See, I hope it's if you, the ending you were talking about where it gives you the time limit and you've got all these panels and stuff. When you were saying that it's impossible, it made me think of that achievement. And I was like, I hope that's how you get it.
Oh, there's also, Jacob told me about this ending, the button heaven ending. Where there's a one of the rooms where if you go and just keep pressing all the buttons, the narrator's like, clearly this is what you're in for it for. Let's just go ahead and give you a treat. And like you step through a door and you're just in a huge colorful room of nothing but buttons. And you can just go and press. He's like, just go nuts. Press to your heart's content. And you can just go and just press all the buttons.
I tried to turn every computer off. I don't know why. I just did. I tried to turn every computer off. And like, there's a part where I could see through a window. Like I couldn't figure out how to get to some areas in the game.
Yeah, I think some of them you just can't get to.
And like, it drove me crazy because like, there's this window in this corridor and I look, there's a computer on in the room. It's like, I cannot figure out how to get in that room.
Let's see. I think that, because there are only 10 achievements.
There's one
for beating the game normally.
There's one that's 8888. It's the one number that's just over and over again.
Yeah, I have no idea how to get that one.
I didn't know if you'd look.
I thought whenever I saw for when the glitch endings, because you go up to one of the file cabinets in the door and you just see that split all across concrete.
Mm.
I thought that had something to do with it, but yeah, no idea about that one.
And it's kind of like, I kind of want to look some of this stuff up, but at the same time, like, that's kind of like takes all the fun out of it. And which kind of makes me feel bad for us talking about the endings a little bit, even though I really wanted to, because like, I feel like this is also one of the games that like, I really want to talk to other people about who have played it, because man, it's like, I loved this game. Like, I am passionate about this game. Like, I think this game is really, really well done. And I think everyone who is interested in games or game design, even if it's not video games, like if you're interested in like board game design, definitely play this game, because you will get so much enjoyment out of it just on the commentary alone.
There's the cheat ending. Are you familiar with the cheat ending? If you open up the console commands, the only way to access this ending. And it makes fun of you for cheating to get the ending.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I read about that.
Do you have achievements for this game?
I don't. I didn't make any achievements.
I've got one.
Okay.
I've got one. Actually, I had two, but I think I forgot the other one, so sorry. The first one I've got is the Hudson Parable, which in order to unlock the Hudson Parable, you have to find the hidden Sudoku puzzle inside the office. As you know, Stanley from The Office loved his crosswords.
Nice.
And Sudoku. I had another one, but you know what? I forgot it. So if I just interject it later on in the episode, that'd be why.
That's fair.
Like there should be one for hearing all of the narration.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Did you? And there's the outtakes in the museum, too. Did you listen to all those? In the museum ending, they've got this little corner where it's like narrator outtakes.
I didn't see that.
I couldn't get all of them to play. Like, it's, yeah, there are different chairs sitting around. You go up to a chair, you'll hear the narrator talk about different stuff.
Had a lot of fun.
Yep.
No, you got something to say?
No, I was trying to think. I was like, what else? I know I want to talk about something else, but I can't think of anything.
I liked the reading what all the mugs said. They were funny.
Oh, I didn't read the mugs.
You didn't read the mugs?
No.
Like, they all, like, all the mugs said different stuff. Like, one in the very first, like, set of cubicles said, who farted? And, like, different stuff like that. Like, really, like, silly, like, little mug.
Like, mugs that you would never see.
Well, some of them weren't.
I mean, I know I've got my who farted mug, but I don't know about you guys.
I know what Nicole's getting for her birthday next year.
Cafe Press Store, here we come.
We're all going to get her one. She'll have six of these.
But they did. They all had little sayings, and they were just, some of them were normal stuff, and some, like, I hate Mondays. And then,
yes, so. I do remember seeing that one, because I thought of Garfield. So that stuck with me.
And then the when you walk into the employee meeting room, and like, the slide is like, how not to get fired, and like, it gives like 3 different bullet points, and the last bullet point says, don't get fired.
Well, and then the bullet points in the confusion ending, they keep changing on the whiteboard to get increasingly like weird and confusing. I can't remember exactly what it said. I remember reading like, all the employees, it starts, they say they start doing more and more fucked up things every time. You have to reset, and the room starts distorting.
I've got a question. Because I know you mentioned this in one of the endings. Do you ever find out what happened to the other employees?
I guess they were all enslaved in the mind control device. I'm not totally sure.
I mean, Because, like, whenever you're in there and you see all the screens, it's all, like, viewpoints of them at their computer. So I assume that the mind control devices, they're being controlled at their computers. But so I don't really, you never find out, like, where they've gone.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about. Because I never got an ending where it answered that question. And one of the endings I got, I think it's the first ending you get, the narrator says, but what about everybody? What about everybody else in the building? And, like, he starts posing questions that it's like, you're free, but... You don't know what happened to everybody else in the building. Yeah, you don't know this. You don't know that.
It's like almost like baiting you. Like, why didn't you explore more?
Right. Which reminds me of my second achievement called Groundhog Day, because this game reminded me of the movie Groundhog Day. Because I'd get an ending and I'd restart and I'd just immediately restart and be ready to go. And that's what was so excruciating sometimes when I felt like I had to wait, where you get the black screen and it's like, oh, I'll wait for like 3 minutes. And then it's like, damn it, I want to like get to the next ending. Let's get on with it. So to unlock Groundhog Day, you have to get 5 endings in a row while playing this game with Andy McDowell.
She's not busy. Check her IMDb. She's just at home. It's fine.
In fact, if she could play this game for me on Tuesday, that would be wonderful. I've got an achievement I'd love to unlock.
The boss's office reminded me of Twin Peaks whenever I stepped foot in there.
Me too. Yes.
It's all wood and out of place, like furniture and animals and stuff.
Yeah, you're right. No, that didn't ping with me, but you saying it. Definitely. Because it's the only room in the game that looks like that, where it's all wallpapered. And I mean, it looks creepy.
Like
as hell.
In the confusion ending, is that where you like you step through a door and you're no longer like in the office building? It's like a broken down like shack looking.
Yeah, you start going through and it looks like you're into a place where all the sheetrock is down and it's just everything's like wood and crates and you're not supposed to be here. I don't even know where this is.
Yeah.
But overall, this is, I mean, especially now summer sale.
Yeah,
you get it for like $5. Goodbye for anybody who's familiar with video games, I think. Or yeah. Video games or fiction. You're right.
I would say even if you hadn't played the game and you listened to all this and heard all the endings, I feel like it's still worth it. Like you said, for the narration. Just for the experience, just to listen to everything that the narrator says. It's worth it.
And that's Tyler, you hit it right on the head, man, when you said even if you just enjoy fiction. Mm. And I think that goes right with what Nicole just said. I mean, just because the narration is so strong in this game, it makes it. Like it's I really don't think the game would be as good as it is if it weren't for that specific narrator.
Mm-hmm. And we discussed like maybe like 10 endings, 9 or 10 endings, and you said somebody found 18. Mm-hmm. So I can't even imagine where the other 8 would be. So
I love that, man. That feels so gratifying for some reason. I even like the idea of one time when I had to quit the game, I noticed that Steam was like sinking the game, as Steam tends to do. Mm-hmm. And it got me to thinking, you know, it would be awesome. And that fits in with this game's MO is if the developers patched it and just put more endings in the game and just never told anybody, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it just made me feel like a kid when it's like, I don't have the internet and I don't know anybody who's played this game. And it's like, I just got to figure this out. Like I could get that Tuesday achievement. I literally could play this game for a Tuesday. Oh, I love it. If you haven't played it, please play it. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Had a lot of fun today.
Yeah.
We're going long, huh?
Yep.
All right. Awesome.
Well, some of this is bug killing. So. All right. Yeah. So.
If you were to give this game, I don't know, let's say a beard. Mm-hmm. Let's say a Stanley beard. What kind of beard would you give this game?
I thought about this long and hard.
Mm-hmm.
So this had to be the beard of a man. Since birth, he has always shaved his head and shaved his beard and shaved his eyebrows.
And his eyebrows?
And his eyebrows. He has not, no,
he doesn't just do the eyebrow strip. You know how some guys do like the... Do people still do that?
You know Vanilla Ice used to do.
Yeah.
Nope, he has no idea what any of his facial hair, what his color, anything is. So the beard could be anything.
Okay.
You don't know. It could be anything. You make your own beard.
You make your own beard. It's a new store.
Yep.
And by the way, third achievement I just came up with. I'm very pleased with myself. Nicole, you helped inspire this one. It's called Stanley Cup. In order to unlock Stanley Cup, you have to read all the mugs in the game.
There's a lot of them.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses or a pair of mugs, I don't care. What kind of glasses would they be?
Just a pair of wireframe lenses or wireframe glasses with no lenses. because they can still, you can put any, you can color them or snap stuff on them or put lenses in of any color or shape. Just bare. Perfectly together, you've got the hairless head man with the wireframe empty glasses. That's the Stanley Parable.
I don't know why, but that made me think of, man, I know I'm going to get his name wrong. The spinoff
Julia
from the
Stiles.
From Julia Stiles. Yes, exactly. I did a lot of research. I'm ready for that quiz. Go ahead and give it. It reminded me of, I think his name was Dwayne from A Different World, the spinoff of the Cosby Show, because he had those round glasses, right? And he had the shades that flipped down.
Yeah.
Like they clamped on the top. Man, I remember being like 7 years old and being like, I can't wait till one day I can own glasses like that. I wonder if Warby Parker has some of those.
Let's hope so. Oh, shit. That's all I got.
That's all you got? Mm-hmm. Some people called us. I know we're running long. Actually, some people texted us. Do you want to do it? Should we wait?
We'll see. Well, let's go ahead. We can do one.
You want to do one?
We can do one.
There's one that's pretty timely because of the Steam sale going on right now.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Okay, there's no address book on the Google Voice line, so it just shows up as numbers. So I think this is from Archivist Corn.
Okay.
If it's not, it's from, let's just call him or her 615. The text is, you guys looking forward to picking up any particular games during the Steam summer sale?
The BioShock DLCs, the BioShock Infinite DLCs, I hope go on sale for me to pick those up.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
I cannot justify paying $15 per DLC. So if those drop to like five
total for the package, that would be great.
I'll pay five per DLC.
Five per?
Mm-hmm.
And can I come over to your house and play them?
Yep.
Because I don't think I'm willing to pay that much.
I also really want, if it drops down to like three, I'll buy the Minerva's Den DLC for BioShock 2. Because I've heard nothing but amazing things about that.
Yeah, me too. I never played it.
Jacob Jorger Wolf Fighting Fame, just he always talks about how amazing it is. Like I've heard it quoted as saying it's the best DLC package to date for like games.
He's also the reason that I want to play it pretty bad.
Yeah.
I really wish Assassin's Creed Black Flag would go really low.
Oh, man.
Because I really want to play that game, but I'm really stingy especially when it comes to Assassin's Creed games. Like, I played the first two, and then, I don't know, I kind of felt like, I think I get it. I understand these games. I think I get it. But then I heard so much good stuff about Black Flag that I really do want to play that one. I don't want to pay more than $20 for it.
Oh, I'm with you completely. Like they'll be on my wish list for a while. All of those Liberation, Black Flag, and there's another one I wanted. But yeah, it'll be on there for a while.
So
Nicole, anything?
I don't. You mentioned that Wolf Among Us was on sale.
Yeah.
I might have to get that.
Because you're a big Fables fan.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it for Meg whenever I saw it on sale. So
I also saw. Thought about today that Terraria was on sale, and I was like, Josh, we can play together.
What did he say to that?
He's like, yeah, we could.
I was about to say, I can't.
That sounds like a 7 for Josh. Yeah. So he was really excited.
I was gonna say, I can't believe you could hear him over his raging erection, just so much blood flowing.
You say Starbound, and I'm sure you've got it because he's played so much Terraria. Starbound is basically Terraria in space, so you had to be like, our marriage will crumble. You cannot play Starbound.
Well, what was that game that was on sale the other day? Like Craft the World or something like that? I don't know. I apologize if that's not the correct title. I'm not like a huge, that's not a big genre for me. But I saw it and I immediately thought of Josh. I was like, I wonder if he bought that.
Yeah, I guess that's, and I'm looking for it. I'd like Broforce to go on sale.
It was on the community choice, but it didn't win.
Yeah.
Which really pisses me off.
And then Transistor, I said I would buy it. And then I had a baby, so I haven't bought it. I think I get an out because I had a baby a month early.
I bought a game called Dino Horde, which has like really bad reviews. And I think it's funny because like the trailer, like it opens up and it's like the first quote they have is, the reviews are misleading. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This is a game where I can play as a Triceratops and like ram myself into a mech. I don't care what the rating is. I'm going to buy this game for $2 and go ahead and do that.
I guess I wish also thank Chandra Nitschit.
Yes.
For just because she likes the podcast, she bought us games.
Yep, I appreciate that very much. We also have some other people to thank who have given us games, which, man, I don't really want to do right now because I feel like I need a list.
Don't want to miss anybody. Yeah,
I don't want to forget anybody. But I know that Archivist Corn has.
Drew Rowland has.
I know that Drew has.
Paul Kuhl has.
Yes, Paul, of course, of What's Paul Playing mm-hmm. Today. I know Lord Matt has.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, I said I wasn't going to do a list, and now I'm doing a list. I know Blake of Blackthorn fame.
Yeah,
has.
But we can. Nah, it's fine.
So, oh man, I know. Correspondent Laura.
Blake bought you a game. He was going to buy me a game. I already owned it, so he said, "Oh, you don't get anything," and bought it for you.
Well, that's what I'm saying instead. Hey, I appreciate it. So, God, I hope we didn't leave anybody off. If we did, just send us an angry voicemail. Is there a bug flying at you, Nicole?
There is.
All right. Well, maybe we should wrap
we
it
just
up.
We heard there's just a bug in the corner just like
rubbing its hands together.
I can smell my fear.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about IGN's 26th ranked game, Return of the Jedi.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to call in for that one. I don't want to do that one. Can you do that one with someone else?
Or we'll just turn the mics on. Whoever wants to show up and do it, that'd be great.
It's an open invitation.
Maybe it's just John Turley of NBA James fame by himself just talking about the movie for an hour and a half.
John, if you're listening to this on Monday when this comes out, which... come on, let's face it. We know you are. You love us. You can't get enough of us. Please record Super Return of the Jedi with us. Please make arrangements to do that because, dude, I don't want to talk about this game. Oh, I don't want to do it. And we can just talk about the movie. It'd be fun times.
iTunes, I still don't have my notes in front of me.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to bring
those. Thanks
for
that. That's the next game. And... it helps us out if you leave 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
So please listen to the show.
On iTunes.
Leave an honest 5-star review.
Yes.
It helps us out a lot.
Uh-huh.
And just as a little perk.
Yeah.
If there's a game you want us to do, include it in your 5-star review. And we will get to it eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Just like Tyler said, we're gonna be back. Hopefully, maybe. I don't know. I really enjoy doing this show a lot. But I do not want to talk about Super Star Wars Return of the Jedi. Oh, man. Oh, so I'm probably going to be in a bad mood on Wednesday. So everyone buckle up for that. In the meantime, if you can't get enough Tadpog goodness, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes are. Who knows what kind of links we're going to have. Maybe we'll have a link to that episode of Full House where they all go to Disney World because we talked about theme parks early in the episode. Who knows? We haven't seen Bailey J in a while. Maybe we'll have some Bailey J on there. I don't know. You can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people doing a lot of cool shit on there. If you're listening now and you like the show, come like us on Facebook, please. I don't know what's been going on there recently because I've been busy as hell. But I guarantee you, whatever it is, it's been great. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. A lot of people are retweeting us. Thank you so much for doing that. And I really love it when you tweet at us because it gives me something to do when I'm bored at work sometimes. And if anyone at work is listening, I'm never bored at work. I'm always... super creative 100% of the time.
It's steal no company time whatsoever.
No, ever. Oh, man, you say that. It makes my heart hurt. You can also call us. If you gave us a game and we forgot to mention you, you can call us.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that at 270-883-2555.
Nailed it.
I'm almost as good as John Turley of NBA James fame in remembering that. So, yeah, give us a call or text us if you want. Either way, it's fine. If you call... ask us a question. We like questions. And if you can keep it under 3 minutes, that would be pretty awesome too. Did you like Groundhog Day? I don't know. Talk to us about that.
Have you rated that on Netflix?
Yes.
Do you remember what you rated it?
No, but probably not very good because I'm not a really big comedy person.
Oh, no, I'm glad you said comedy and not Bill Murray because I think I would have like crumbled into 1,000 pieces if you had said I'm not a big Bill Murray fan.
Well, you like comedy. It just has to be at someone else's expense.
Schadenfreude.
Yes. She agrees.
All right.
You can't see it, but she's like, yeah.
That's all I got, man. Yeah. That's all I got. Nicole, I mean, you're like a seasoned pro at this. Our intro song.
It's Moves by Sycamore Drive.
And a link to that track
can be found in the show notes on tadpog.com.
Yeah, sounds right to me. Boom. Nailed it.
Okay.
if you can do this in a British accent.
See, that's my worst accent. Oh, that's my worst
great.
British accent.
I love
accent.
It. Let's do it. Let's all do the outro in our best British accent. It's going to be great.
So until next time, tropical.
Tropical Capricorn. Capricorn. You didn't even try.
I don't do accents. But I think yours are great.
Oh, yeah, you definitely don't like comedy.
It's huge. It's on the door. Yeah. It's huge.